Hello, I am Nick Liard.
And I'm Mark Gentile.
And this is Pints in Politics, and we are joined by a Liberal MP and a candidate for the Liberal Party, Paul Lefebvre. And in spirit of this video and podcast, we are going to order up some pints. So we've already done it. We're going to bring them in now, and then we're going to explain a little bit about what we ordered.
That sounds good, Nick. I am not a beer drinker, so...
Well,
this is a crapshoot for me.
Well, I feel like we should have called it wine and something.
Wine?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, and here we go.
There you go.
All right. We'll start with the guest. What did you order?
So I ordered the 46 North Brewing. So local brewery. I love craft brewery. And whenever I actually travel around, I always try to find a local craft brewery store. And so I went to Timmins, a full beard, and it was Trestles and Norsk on the way to Parry Sound. And so yeah, it was South River, the Highlander.
Oh,
so
you're like a connoisseur of
fine
pints.
I'm not sure if I'm connoisseur, but I'm a consumer. So I enjoy that.
After you, sir.
Well, I ordered the Crack Canoe because I don't really drink beer. It's got a low alcohol content, and it's made by Moosehead, which I like. So, you know, that's as simple as that. Plus, kind of a cool name.
Yeah, Crack Canoe. I got the, I think it's a Harvest Moon or something. It is a pumpkin flavored beer because I'm bad and bougie, and I decided.
You are bad and bougie.
I would go with a pumkin spiced theme something.
Nice.
All right, let's
shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, Paul, the way this format is going to work, I'm going to ask you some more, you know, difficult questions. Nick is going to ask questions more designed to kind of get to know you a bit as a person, if we
Sounds
could.
Good.
So, I actually want to ask you a question that we asked Justin Trudeau, your leader, when he was here at the end of September. And he dodged the question. So, I'm going to put that question to you.
We asked
about electoral reform. Yep. That promise was broken. Not much effort was made to actually deliver electoral reform.
I will address that for sure.
And you also promised to balance the budget. Neither of those actually materialized. So I guess why should Canadians trust that the Liberal Party is going to deliver on the promises this time around when some fairly major promises that were part of the campaign in 2015 weren't delivered?
Well, certainly, first thing, 92% of the promises that we made were kept. With respect to electoral reform, actually a lot of work was made into it. Actually, there was a committee, a parliamentary committee, that studied this for over a year, and there was no consensus, right? You had the conservatives that didn't want to change, right? The liberals that wanted to be looking at a preferential ballot, and then we had the NDP and the Greens, and the Bloc looking at more with respect to mixed proportional representation. Where I stood, listen, I was going with it, and certainly looking at all this, and actually I had issued a press release back in 2016 when obviously it was decided not to continue. But the committee could not come up with a consensus. So what if we are going to, what format that this should take, and as well, certainly, what question should be on a ballot if there is a referendum. There was actually no consensus on an actual question. My issue, my fundamental issue with electoral reform, or certainly mixed proportional representation, that was one of the issues that were coming to the forefront, is you have an election, and there is actually then based on percentage, there'll be the party with maybe 40% or 10% gets 10% of the seats, the extra seats in the House of Commons. Those seats are determined by the party. It's a list of people. And to me, that's not democratic. And for me, Northern Ontario had a great possibility of having underrepresentation or actually having the equal representation that we have now. So fundamentally, that was it.
That's
with respect
fair.
to your other question with respect to the economy and we're at, we told Canadians that we wanted to grow the economy and make sure that everybody had an equal chance at success. There's been a million jobs that has been created in Canada. 800,000 people have been lifted out of poverty. And these are not my stats. These are Statistics Canada stats.
Right.
And so fundamentally, there's a lot of good things going on in Canada. There's a lot more work to be done. And that's why, you know, at the end of the day, we need to keep moving forward with a lot of the policies that we're bringing forward to make sure that, you know, everybody has that equal chance at success and we're not leaving people behind. That's why a lot of the policies are made for that. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, that's kind of your answer to the question that you asked.
You did better than Justin Trudeau did. I'll give you that.
I think that answer deserves a drink.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
You're parched, so cheers. I forgot to cheers at the beginning.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's tap back into the younger Paul Lefebvre. Let's go back in time. So from beginning to now, and you have a young family, so you've done a lot of Halloweens. What has been your favorite Halloween costume?
Wow, what a question. My favorite Halloween costume.
That he wore that one of his children wore?
It doesn't matter. That you wore. Let's define it to what you wore.
I was a big Dracula fan.
Okay.
In the day.
Nice.
Where I would get to Dracula. Evel Knievel, imagine or not. Oh, wow. My mom had made a suit for Evel Knievel. My brother wore it, so I had the hand-me-down, so I wore it later on. Right? And growing up in Kapuskasing, we had to make sure that our suits were able to have a snowsuit under.
Yes, I can attest to that. Yes.
So every time we knocked on doors to have Halloween, it was snowing. And there was always snow on the ground, so we had to be able to put our snow boots on and our snowsuits under our Halloween costumes. So it was, everything was always made for that. So those were that's what comes to mind. I know my kids love Spider-Man in the day. They always the witch is always very popular as well for my daughter. But the theme has changed over the years. But my children still go. And so, and we still pass Halloween. They're getting young. They're getting a bit older.
Yeah.
But they still.
You got to hang on to it for as long as you can.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. So, you've made the Liberal Party has made a commitment to get to net zero carbon emissions by 2050.
Yeah.
Critics of that plan say critics of doing anything about climate change say that Canada contributes less than 2% of total global carbon emissions.
Yeah.
So can you explain to voters why it is that it is important to spend billions of dollars of public money to rein in those emissions?
I think it's critical that we do that. I think that given the fact that climate change is upon us, we're actually seeing it in Northern Ontario, flooding and as well as forest fires and as well as in Eastern Canada as well as Western Canada. And I think it's not only for Canada, but around the world. But that's why in Canada, actually our emissions are based on, if we're looking at the amount of people that we have and what we are, and we have as CO2 emissions, we're actually quite high, right? Mm-hmm. When we average that out. So that's why it's critical. And you know what? Canada is an energy superpower. However, we have the ability as well as to help the world actually transfer into a green economy. And Sudbury, to me, is the epicenter of that.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, we need minerals and metals for our low carbon economy to put it into our batteries. And addressing climate change, we actually be creating jobs at the same time. And Sudbury, it can actually benefit a lot from that. And I always tell the story, actually, I was at the G20 back in June. And I was representing Canada at the G20, so I was representing the Minister of Environment and Minister of Natural Resources. And I had China beside me, and I had Brazil beside me. And I told the Sudbury story of where we were 50 years ago, building a super stack, right? And that was innovation. And then with regulation, with innovation, and the community coming into obviously supporting, we actually cut down our SO2 emissions by 98%. Now the air is the cleanest it's ever been. We planted 14 million trees, as well as our lakes. We can actually fish in our lake. We can drink the water in the lake. So for me, the epicenter of the environment and the economy going hand in hand. And I think there's a lot of economic opportunities at the same time. And climate change is a reality. We have to listen to the scientists, and we need to keep moving forward. And that's why we put it in a plan. The last 4 years, we are the government that has done the most to address climate change than any other government in Canadian history.
Yeah.
We still need to move forward. Like you said, there's critics out there that we're not doing enough. Some people are criticizing that we're doing too much.
Yeah.
Right? But it's to strike that balance. And that's what we're trying to achieve.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
There's going to be emissions coming shortly if I keep drinking.
When you're going door to door and you encounter someone who says either climate change is a hoax or climate change isn't real, do try and convince them? And if you do, how do you do that?
That's a good question. Certainly, when people are saying that climate change is a hoax, it's tough to convince them that it is not. If they don't believe in the science, it's tough to tell them that the science is real and their feelings are not. But you got to look at where is that anxiety come from, right? If you think that we should be doing nothing for the environment, I really think that people that are of that belief, that there's still a lot of work to be done. But that's why this issue has been nonpartisan, right? We all have to agree, all the parties, and we're not there yet. So there's the conservative party, some members do not believe that climate change, we need to address that, it'll take care of itself. Mm-hmm. And that was, the way I look at it is, listen, if we take the policy of today, where the Conservative Party is at, and the NDP and the Greens and the Liberal, look at Sudbury, 50 years ago where we were. The Conservatives would have done nothing, and we still have black rock everywhere, no trees would have been planted, we would not have addressed SO2s. And on the other side, the Greens and the NDP would have shut down Sudbury, because mining was dirty, and we had an environmental footprint. So we are the only party that is looking at how to balance that out. So it's a great question, and we need to, we just need to talk it more. And that's what happens right now. People saying, there's a lot of anxiety out there, and people saying that everything is going to burn tomorrow, right? We got to be looking at the science and saying, in Sudbury, we have a story of addressing That's our environment, and we can do this not only in Canada but around the world. And I've been an advocate, a strong advocate of that, not only in Canada but everywhere I've gone to in the world to tell that story.
Okay.
On the heels of climate change, one of the more dividing issues in Sudbury over the last little bit, especially on social media, has been that of an old hospital and what to do of it. So once they painted over to what it is now, what was your initial reaction and how do you feel about it?
Listen, I'm a fan of public art. I find it adds, no matter what it is, certainly public art has it, all sorts of forms. Right, and so the one that we have now, as you're talking to on the old hospital, there's a lot of different comments out there. Some people like it, some people like it, do not like it. But at the end of the day, what it was to what it is now, I think it's always an improvement because what it was before. It was an eyesore. Now we have this talking piece that they're looking at us. I'm a fan of art. Being my first degree was in music, right? So people don't know that about me, but my first degree was in music. I'm actually one of the founders of the Sudbury Jazz Festival, right, on the music side. So for
I can attest to that. I've seen him in concert.
You go.
what instrument do you play?
Saxophone.
Sax man.
Yeah,
okay.
And piano and some guitar as well.
I was saxophone player in grade school.
Right on.
I can play the Star Wars theme song and Hot Crust Buns.
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
Maybe you guys should get a band together.
Yeah, maybe a duo. Let's get a duo one, yeah. But it's a great question. But for me, public art has its place. And with some of the festivals that we have like up here, we're recognized around the world now. And that's, you have to differentiate yourself. And we have these creative people in Sudbury. We're very, very fortunate. We are a city of inventors and a city of creators. And we're giving them these opportunities to express themselves, which is, I thought, is awesome.
Canada has some of the strictest firearms laws in the world.
Yep.
Your leader, Justin Trudeau, has brought up a plan to strengthen or stiffen those laws, make assault rifles or ban them in essentially. However, most urban gun crimes are committed with illegal weapons.
Yep.
Most murders and gun crimes, according to StatsCan, are committed with long guns and are crimes of passion. Now, if that is the case, critics of this say that the Liberal Party is attempting to attract urban voters with an assault gun ban using laws that punish more rural people. Do you agree or disagree with that criticism?
I disagree with that criticism because in rural Canada, some have assault rifles, but the only place that you can use an assault rifle is at the gun range.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go hunting, deer hunting with an assault rifle. I'm a gun owner. Actually, I hunt. My kids hunt. I actually organized 12 boys from my son's hockey team a few years ago to have their PL, right? So I'm
were they better shooters outside than inside?
Yes, they didn't miss the net. But the changes that we're making, we're trying to strengthen those laws to make sure that we are reducing certainly gun crime. And in Canada, the reality is that there's a lot of theft of guns in homes that have those assault rifles, and sometimes there are theft. But then, as you said, the border is also an issue. That's we need to put back money into the border, make sure that we are protecting the border. And ironically, the Conservatives actually cut the budget for border security by over $400 million.
But
we've actually put it back the money back in, and we're enhancing those investments to border security to make sure. Because again, as you said, we have there is a crisis. Like even yesterday, there was another shooting down in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Right, those guns sometimes are maybe illegal guns, but at the same time, sometimes they're illegal guns that have been stolen.
Yeah.
Right, so the way that we actually store our guns, and the way that we have certainly handguns per se, and assault rifles have no place in our society. There's no use for them. Some people enjoy using them at the gun range, but for me, security should trump that.
Okay.
All right. This is not your first rodeo. You've done this before. This is you're going for re-election.
That's right.
So you've gone door to door a lot on campaigning, various issues as well. What if there is one particular story of something funny that has happened to you while campaigning door to door? Is there a particular story or maybe a couple?
Yeah, actually, there was one where I knocked on the door and the lady opened the door and the dog ran out. Okay, but then it wasn't her dog, it was a friend's dog that she was babysitting. And we were near the tracks. So what do you do? Do I leave or do I stay or what do I do? So I ran after the dog with her. It took us about 45
that's
minutes.
That's how you get votes.
Well,
you chase dogs.
The last thing I wanted is for the dog to be, obviously, hit by anything, and then it's my fault, right? So I made sure that we ran after the dog.
This dog's blood is on my hands.
Well, it was. So well, it's anyways, red. We actually, yes, exactly. And then but the dog would respond to her because it wasn't her dog either, right? So we had a real challenge to get the dog, and finally we got to the dog, and then we brought the dog. So that was quite a funny story.
I'm sure you definitely see a lot campaigning, Dora.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It's I brought my kids out a few times because I wanted to them to see Sudbury, right? There's some doors that in different sectors of our community, and certainly there are some doors where people are obviously they're challenged. They're financially they're in a difficult position, and we need to talk to them just like we talk to the people that live in areas that have more means, mm-hmm. and to hear from them what their concerns are and how we can address those concerns. And no, that's why I ran it in 2015. For me, fairness was a big thing. I didn't agree under the Harper regime that the universal child benefit was the same thing. Was the same thing for everybody. I have a brother-in-law who has ODS, who's on ODSP because of an injury. And then here we are, myself and my wife. I'm a lawyer. My wife is a physician. We were getting the same thing. My nieces and nephews were getting the same amount that my kids were getting. I found that, you know, vehemently unfair. Yeah. And so when we came into power, one of the first things was to make sure that we change that. Those, my nieces and nephews would be able to have a lot more, and we're doing fine without getting the $100 check a month. And that's why, and to me, that's the basis of the vision of our society that we want. You know what, are we all equals? We're not. We need to give the upper hand to the people, or help out the people that need the most, and ask the people that have a bit more means, that have been lucky, that have worked hard, that have a bit more means, to pay a bit more. And I truly believe in that society.
Well, Mark, I think we have time for one more, so let's make it a good one.
Sure.
Okay. Well,
well, I don't know how good it is, but I'll ask it anyway. Why can't the Liberal Party say the word deficit? Canadian governments have been running deficits since basically the beginning of Canada. It's a recognized part of running a government. But you're Justin Trudeau insists on calling them investments rather than deficits. Why the semantic game?
Well, you know what, for me, we have deficits, so I'm saying it. But at the same time, why are we running these deficits? Because we're investing in Canadians. So that, to me, it goes hand in hand. Certainly, I look at, yes, we have deficits, but I also look at what are we achieving with those deficits, and are we helping people out, and we are. As well as there's other ways to measure the economy, and certainly one of the measures that we're looking at is really the debt to GDP ratio, which is at one of the best it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And even though we are running deficits, it keeps going down. Why? Because the economy keeps growing, right? The economy keeps growing with respect to stimulating the economy as we're doing, and so our ratio of debt to GDP is actually going down as well. I think that's the measure that we need to look at. And actually, when you look at where we're at, compare ourselves to any G7 country, we are in the best fiscal shape than any other G7 country. That's why we can invest in Canadians. That's where we need to move forward to continue with those investments.
Well, Paul Lefebvre on Pints and Politics. Let's have one final cheers before we let you go.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you.
Best of luck in the upcoming election.
Cheers. Thank you.